You're listening to Minor Talk On Demand exclusively on 600 ESPN El Paso. Stay up to date with Minor Talk by downloading the free 600 ESPN El Paso mobile app.
We are live. It is Minor Talk presented by Jack in the Box. I'm Adrian Broaddus. Along with me are my two co-hosts, Sal Montes, Alberto Retta. We are back and we are here after UTEP men's basketball. Oh, rejoice. It feels great to be talking some hoops. It feels great to be talking a lot of things about UTEP men's basketball. We'll talk a little women's basketball as well, as they got a win earlier today against Tarleton State. But we start off here today on the broadcast talking about UTEP's 102-55 victory over Sol Ross State. You want to talk about it with us? Give us a call, 915-505-6009. 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X. 600ESPNElPaso.com is where you could check in as well. We'll take calls early on into the program. Then later on, the four of us have something awesome in store for everybody. It's like the fantasy basketball draft version of what we're going to be doing for men's basketball. And I'm really excited about this because we are going to each draft quote-unquote players on our teams, and we are going to be talking about them at length. So instead of talking about necessarily something about, you know, certain players here and there, assessing this game, taking away all these kind of different things. No. We're gonna do a little draft, and then we're gonna use that as our idea to actually talk about a lot of these players on this team. I think, Sal, my immediate takeaway right away is, they lived up to what the expectation was for them tonight. The expectation was for them to dominate. The expectation was for them to, not create a lot of turnovers. They finished out with only 8. The expectation was to see this men's basketball team hit three-pointers tonight, which they did. They shot 52% from beyond the arc, including seeing a newcomer in Ahmad Bynum knock down 20 points and 6 three-pointers. I mean, that was a mark that's pretty comforting for a lot of UTEP fans, along with Trey Horton, who hit 5 triples, by the way, which was also really nice to see. So we could talk all sort of takeaways. We already have full phone lines. That just tells you how much everybody is starving for some UTEP basketball content. But Sal Montes, I'll bring you on to the program initially, and I'm just going to get your first takeaways from watching this men's basketball squad.
Yeah, UTEP was playing fast, specifically on defense. You know, that's what you want to see. Ultimately, it's hard to take away, and I don't want to say anything worth value, but it's hard to take away anything that we can kind of staple on for the rest of the schedule, because it is what is now a D2 school, not D3 anymore. So there is an elevation for Sol Ross there out in the Lone Star Conference. But as far as just in general, you're happy that there were no injuries on each side. That's number one. And you were able to put out some different rotations. Coach Golding said it best. Guys who normally don't play as much got some play more than they normally would. However, that's how it's going to be filtered out throughout the year. He said whoever plays well is going to judge their play time off of their play time, which is interesting. It's kind of a funny quote, but nonetheless, though, it was a very, very guard-oriented night tonight.
Yeah, and I think what he meant by that, the rotation split up, and I'll bring you in on this one, Alberto. I think what they're going to try to figure out is a 10 or 11-man rotation. We are going to draft 12 players, which is going to make our fantasy draft, quote-unquote, very exciting, very interesting. We could end up calling it like a stock-up, stock-down kind of stock market type of game. We could end up finding point totals, rebound totals, all those kind of stats, and breaking this down into like a mini college basketball fantasy thing. But regardless, Alberto, one of the things that we're going to have to see early on in the season is how this team tries to shore up their rotation. 10, 11 guys, whatever that ends up being. I'm curious to see who ends up making the cut, and I think it's going to be something that they're going to have to figure out over the course of these next 2 months in non-conference play.
Yeah, I think they definitely have to get that settled, because you want to go into conference play definitely with all that figured out, and you're just ready to fit all the pieces together and get going offensively and defensively. So, yeah, I think that today's rotation doesn't really tell you what's going to happen in conference play, but I was kind of surprised to see guys like Elijah Jones and both Kevin Kalu. I didn't see them get as many minutes as I would have wanted. Elijah Jones Jr. only gets 11. 11 minutes. He doesn't have the performance that perhaps you want him to. And I also would have liked to see Derek Hamilton a little more, especially since it's so early. But a lot of the other newcomers, or the newcomers, they had a great time coming in. And so it'll be interesting to see who lands on the permanent mainstay rotation with these guys. Hopefully they can make positive contributions.
Let's talk about it right now. We got full phone lines, 915-505-6009. Let's begin with UTEP's DJ. It is Jason Craig, and he is joining us first up on the phone lines. Jason, welcome aboard. Only fitting that you're joining us for the tip-off, the season tip-off of UTEP basketball. You got the double dosage today. UTEP women's basketball and men's basketball both take home victories. Give me your instant takeaways tonight.
Man, busy day. How you doing, Adrian? Sal? Man, women's basketball was a little bit slower, of course. You know, it was a little bit slower, but they got that W, so that was a really good thing to watch. But men's basketball, man, I was so surprised. I felt like they played very aggressive today. They just really were going at it and just did not let off the gas. I didn't see anything slow down. It was really, really fresh and easy. You know, the past couple seasons have been kind of like, you know, little iffy, and we knew at the beginning of the season, we were like, oh man, we don't know. But this, it looked really, really good, really promising. So I'm just excited just for the win, of course, and then I just want to see what the rest of the season is going to be like. You know, definitely, you know, I got to make sure that, you know, we tell the fans, hey, get out there, man, get out there and come have some fun at the Dawn.
You know, one of the things, Jason, and I appreciate you saying that, the things that a lot of people are going to point out is, oh, you know, there's not a lot of marquee games on that home schedule. We were kind of talking about this not too long ago for men's basketball. You pay attention to the whole month of November on the road. That's going to tell you a lot about this team. And I'm not going to take away too many things from this first stretch on the road here in November. It is a tougher schedule here to start things off when you just look at it from a mid-major perspective, but then you turn the page on the month of November. The first game in December, it's a Seattle game on a Saturday afternoon. After that, you play at Louisville. Then it's a home game against Tarleton State. That three-game run will tell us a lot we need to know, and I think that's where we make a big determination on this team and where they're headed. But let me ask you, Jason, before I let you go, where are your expectations at this year for men's basketball?
I've been paying attention, you know, not like very closely, but through social media, and just seeing their grind, with practice and stuff like that. And this is what they played today. I would like them to play like that for the rest of the season. Just play that way. I felt like they were really working with each other, and it looked like a team effort. It didn't seem very, like a one-person thing or just two people. I felt like everybody got a chance to get their hands on the ball and get something done, even if it was just a little bit. Just that little bit of stuff, like, on defense. They were really aggressive on defense, man. They were really going after that ball. And it felt like they were just stronger. They looked stronger, you know, down in the paint, too. So I that's what I want to see. I just want to see aggressiveness and just them really going at it.
Okay, I got you down, man. I appreciate the phone call, Jason. Always great to hear your voice. Great job on the hard work today. Get some rest after a busy, busy day. That's our pal Jason Craig joining us here to kick things off on a Minor Talk Men's Basketball Season Edition kickoff. Let's keep it moving. 915-505-6009. That's our telephone number. 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X. We're getting a lot of responses on Twitter and X, and we'll get to all those here in just a little bit. We got Jimmy who's going to join us next, and we got Carlos right after him. But before we go to those guys, let's go to Twitter and X real quick. 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X, and hashtag Minor Talk. That's where you can find us right now. Going over to Twitter, there's a lot of instant reactions right now from fans after this victory from UTEP, 102-55. Albeit, it's the first game of the year. What do you really take away from all of that? This is what Sun City Caper has had to say. This is actually Manny David. Great win to start the season. Even better to be there in person. Kind of hard to judge the team defensively after a game like this. At least several players saw some playing time. Best of luck to the team this season. Hashtag minor talk. Cesar Cubillos. I know it was just a D2 team, but after many tough football losses, it feels good to see a UTEP team blow out an opponent. Good to see Barnes and Bynum coming in to replace Zid Powell and Tay Hardy. Go Miners. If you went to the women's game, it was a hard-fought win. Love hearing the chants of supporters and for Portia after she was slow getting up late in the game. Front page sports UTEP. UTEP was once again forced turnovers and took 15-plus more shots than their opponents. Three guys with 17-plus points is nice also. Those are all the comments coming in on Twitter and X. Let's go back to the phone lines here. 915-505-6009. Jimmy is next up with us. Jimmy, good evening, man. Give us your thoughts, initial reactions, instant takeaways for UTEP men's basketball.
First, thank you guys for doing this. It's always great to have conversation after the game, and you guys do a great job on that. First thoughts is I hope and I think three-pointers will be much improved. I really like the transfer by them. I think his shot is he's got a beautiful shot, and Trey Horton's shot just looks much improved over last year. So I think there's going to be a legitimate improvement from the outside. I think the question mark is going to be on rebounding in the inside game, and I would love to see, just because his efficiency is probably the best on the team, I would love to see Hamilton get more than 10, 11 minutes a game, maybe see him get up to the 20-minute mark. And I'm wondering, is it a question of his not having the stamina? Does the coach not have confidence in his defensive abilities? But from the offensive perspective, there's not a more efficient player than Hamilton, and I just don't see why he doesn't get more minutes. This is his last year, I believe, and if he can't stretch out more than 10, 11 minutes, then there's something going on with the strength and conditioning coach, but he needs to see more minutes. Other than that, I love the team.
So, Jimmy, you say, like, okay, it's on the strength and conditioning staff, and you alluded to what it actually is. It is the conditioning with Hamilton, and everybody asks for Hamilton. Everybody's pounding their fists on the table saying, I want to see more Derek Hamilton. I was doing the numbers, guys. You look at the offensive rating numbers. He was over 100 based on his offensive rating last year as on a season per KenPom. That's a really good mark right there. And just for reference, the only other player on UTEP's team last year who had an offensive rating over 100 was Zid Powell. It just tells you that they have high efficiency when it comes to scoring the basketball or leading to scoring the basketball. The problem with Derek Hamilton and staying on the floor is the conditioning. And Sal, they bring up, oh, well, it's the strength and conditioning staff. But at what point is it on you, you know, as a player? It's year three. It's his final season. It's his senior season. If I was Derek Hamilton, I would go all in on everything that the coaching staff is, telling me as far as getting my conditioning to the best point it could be, because that's the only way I'm going to see the floor. I'm going to see any kind of action.
And not only that, but the style of play that Golding wants to put out there. And before I go further, I do want to say that Coach Golding likes to tailor it to what he has as well. So it's not so much my way or the highway. There's going to be some fluctuations that are made. But now let me get back to it. You're right. It's year number three in this system, and you're in a position where you can benefit from a really guard heavy type of lineup, meaning you might be one of, if not the only big quote unquote that's going to be out there. You can reap the benefits of a lot of rebounds of starting or taking part in the beginning of some of those fast breaks as well. So to kind of see that not taking part at this point when the upperclassmen, there's been a lot of experience, and it's not the first go round under this coaching regime, really, it is kind of disappointing.
Yeah, I would say so. And I would say that, you know, for him, I think it's on him. I think that it's on him to work, to fight and get those minutes in order to actually see the court and see some action. So let's keep it moving. 915-505-6009. I appreciate the phone call, Jimmy. Great job there. Next up is Carlos here on the phone lines. UTEP defeats Sol Ross State 102-55. First game of the UTEP men's basketball season. Let's talk about it here on Minor Niner Talk, presented by Jack in the Box, 915-505-6009. We're also brought to you in part by the Oscar Addy at the Agency, the District Pub and Kitchen West, New Start Homes, and Wind Supply El Paso. Carlos, good evening, man. Thank you so much for waiting with us. Give us your instant reactions to watching this UTEP basketball team.
My instant reaction is I'm screaming, obviously delusional UTEP fan here, screaming, having my hands over my head, thanking UTEP basketball for saving me of the plights of the UTEP football team. But, I mean, you can't really tell a whole lot about this team right now against Sol Ross, right? This is a get-right game, you know, getting ready for these, as you guys alluded to, these tougher mid-major games. But I really did like what I saw from the offensive side of the ball. You know, Horton and Bynum are just absolute flamethrowers. They can shoot the heck out of the ball, and it's great to watch. If there's one thing I would nitpick is more on the defense side of the ball. They were kind of overplaying a little bit, trying to deny the passes, and they were getting into really rough situations. And I feel like once the competition gets a little bit stiffer, that can probably lead to more foul trouble down the stretch. So hopefully they can clean that up a little bit, or maybe this was just them trying to take advantage of the situation. But otherwise, I really liked what I saw.
But Carlos, you're a UTEP basketball fan, right? Like, you've seen this team before, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
What I'm getting at is...
I absolutely know that. But, you know, it was just... I guess I'm just being a little bit overcautious. Like, again, I don't want, like, our bigs to get in trouble down the stretch, you know, whether it be Kalu, Hamilton, or Jones. But just sometimes they were just overplaying a little bit. But other than that, like, their aggressiveness was great. You know, this is the true identity of a Golding team, and I really did enjoy it.
Yeah, and I see your point. I appreciate the phone call, man. And you see it the same way as I do, Carlos. I appreciate that. I'd say this, and Sal, you could attest to this too. They play a very aggressive style of defense. It's the help the helper
yes.
kind of defense. And that's why, you know, when they play better competition, that better competition will expose them through backdoor cuts or anything like that. It's the same thing that you've seen here in year four, all the way back, and you look into year one. It's the same thing.
It's very high risk, high reward, but that's a hill that they stand on. They live and die by that, and it works out sometimes. Other times it may not. However, they're consistent when it comes to that type of approach, which you got to respect. I don't want to teeter off completely, but I heard something interesting today. It's just about the NFL real quick. Nick Sirianni had a press conference where he was saying, had to be aggressive. I had to wear that hat. And I'm thinking, what the hell does that mean? You have to wear that hat? Like, that's your hat or it's not. So now let me translate it to UTEP. That's UTEP's hat. They're going to put that on every single game and they're going to live and die by it. So, that's what you could expect. But today it paid a lot of dividends because they're a lot faster, stronger, and bigger than who they were going up against today.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, it's, you know, it's hard to judge them. I totally agree with all those points as well. It's hard to judge them, but you take an aggressive approach on, and that's your style defensively, then you're going to reap the rewards. They had so many points in transition. Look at all the turnovers that they made too.
Yeah.
So I'm not concerned whatsoever on the style of defense. They will have times where the risk is not worth what it was, but until we see that, really, I'm not really going to be concerned about that. And Alberto, it just goes back to last year. They were one of the best teams in terms of steals in the country, not just Conference USA, but creating turnovers defensively. That was the name of last year's team. Like, that's who they were. They were just creating havoc defensively all around.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they can couple that and complement that with good offensive play, good shooting beyond the three, and just kind of an all more so more balanced game all around. That way you could take that on fire into conference play and feel good when you start playing these difficult opponents like Liberty and Western Kentucky.
Yeah, no doubt. Let's keep it moving. 915-505-6009. Brian is next up on the phone lines. Brian, good evening, man. Thank you so much for joining us. Give us your instant reactions to watching this men's basketball squad.
Hey, I'll be on every good evening, but I didn't really get to see much of the game because I had a lot of things to do this evening. But in the clips I saw next from my friends, shout out to Sideline Q-Tip for sending a lot of them, they're looking pretty good. Unfortunately, Sol Ross State's mullet coach couldn't help them out here, but the situation here was that, and it's a point that Carlos brought up in the last call, is that how are we going to look against a mid-major program like Liberty or Western Kentucky? I like how Hamilton and Bynum look, But my question is, going forward with Conference USA play, maybe eventually, we'll see how that goes. But I'm excited for UTEP hoops. They're making my hopes up, unlike UTEP football.
Yeah, and the UTEP football, I mean, look, man, we turned the page already here on this show. So as far as UTEP football goes, I think there's a lot of things you could be excited about for recruiting and, you know, for all of those kinds of things. But as far as the season goes, Saturday, our priority will be basketball. So we'll be doing minor talk after UTEP men's basketball. Utah Valley will be the team that they play on the road on Saturday. Both the men's basketball team and the football team play at the exact same time on Saturday. And we've said it, you know, we will be, you know, focusing on UTEP men's basketball as far as minor talk goes. For UTEP football's purposes, Alberto will be on site, Zay will be on site at the Sun Bowl. They'll be providing coverage for us. It's not like we won't still have the coverage. And then Sal Monta is producing the game. It will be, it can be heard on 95.5, our partner station, KLAQ, and then 600 ESPN El Paso here, the flagship station. We will have men's basketball. So that is the programming reminder for Saturday. But back to some of the tweets on social media, 915-505-6009, as we get things started here on Minor Talk. This is coming in from Shannon Sharpie. This worries me, and it's a score of New Mexico defeating Nicholls 91-84. I think they're saying that this was a closer game, and, you know, they're concerned that New Mexico might not be that good. Sal, I would just say it's early season. I think a lot of these mid-major games are going to be really close. Don't be fooled by a certain win or a certain loss or a closer game. I still believe New Mexico is a pretty good team, and I think that UTEP playing them competitively a week ago, I think it's more of a reflection of how close these two teams are when it comes to the mid-major pecking order.
Did you say it was New Mexico against Nicholls?
Yeah,
right?
It was New Mexico defeating Nicholls 91-84.
There we go. Okay, you know what? I have the women's scores right here. I'm like, it was Northern Arizona. They lost nonetheless, so that's a whole other thing. But I want to see what Nicholls looks like. But to that point, though, Nicholls is a Division I program as well. So
I mean
take that into consideration. I mean, it's also the first game of the year. I like to pinpoint, like, hey, how were they in the first couple weeks? How are they when you should have things figured out? More so like January, like mid-January, mid-February, you know. But
agreed.
Hey, I mean, we'll see. Nicholls could be good. They might not. Maybe it was a bad day for the Lobos. Who knows?
Yeah, I'm with you there. This is coming in from Robert Urquidy. Year after year, UTEP team has failed to win when it counts. The talent has always been there, but no one has been able to get over the hump. This team has all the tools to do it, but they actually have to prove it. Although 100 points is nice, it's only game one of a long season. Couldn't agree with you more, Robert. And to that point, Sal, you know, the talk of the offseason is offense, offense, offense. Well, in these next 2 months here in non-conference play, while we will not overreact to anything, as we know here, it is a one-bid league, and even if UTEP enters January 1st with no wins, which isn't going to happen, I mean, obviously they're 1-0, but yeah. Even if they hit that point, it doesn't matter. You just got to win that CUSA tournament in March. It's a one-bid league in CUSA. So you got to be playing basketball at the right time.
And that's funny because the roller coaster of emotions that everybody's going to go through, I hate to say it, but it might not even matter because that final
week
of February and stuff is going to be telling a lot. But while you were talking about that, Adrian, I was able to pull up Nicholls, and they're not really a pushover. Just looking at it here, they had a 4-game win streak, 3-game, and another 4-game win streak. That's 4-3, 4, what is that, 7-11, and then another win there. They won like 12 of their last 16 or something to close out the regular season. Matter of fact, two of those in the conference tournament as well. And I think that may have been the conference championship against McNeese, or at least the semis. So this team is, they're building off of a solid end to the year last year. So, props to Nicholls, man. So I hope I could provide some context to that.
That's good context. Yeah. And it is not a pushover type of team. So that's a big point to it. Tristan Pence, I got a chance to see Tristan today. He tweeted into the program. There's a lot to be excited about with this team. There is depth at the guard position, and finally, the Miners can shoot from the perimeter. If the rebounding can improve, the Miners will finish as one of the top three teams in CUSA. Horton and Frazier looked really good tonight. I agree, man. I think all these guys look pretty good. I can't nitpick at anybody. But to our earlier point, Sal, last year, and I'll bring you in on this one, Alberto. Last year, the Miners finished 18-16 in the regular season, or I should say, 18-16 overall. In the regular season, they finished 16-15, so right around 500, but they had a losing CUSA record. They were 7-9 in conference play. So when you really look at it, despite having the three-game win streak to close out the season in regular season CUSA play, the Miners were just right above 500 on the season last year. So this year, regardless of where this team goes in CUSA play, the only thing that matters are those 3 days or, you know, the week in March in Huntsville, Alabama, because only one team will come out a winner and only one team will go to the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, definitely. But I think that you want to put together a good conference, season. You don't want to go into that tournament with any doubt in your mind. You want to have played every single one of those teams hard to where they know that you're a hard basketball team that plays hard until that final whistle, and maybe even you instill some fear in them. That way, when you go into that conference tournament, you kind of feel a lot more confident. You already saw the run that you went on last year. You return all those players. It's only natural that you feel confident, so it's now time to put together that in-conference play so that you can ride a hot wave into the tournament and then really put things together. That's what your fans are expecting, and that's what's going to make them turn up to the games, right? If you start picking up heat and it starts coming out how you're on a streak, well, that's going to put butts in seats.
Brian tweets into the program with how much football has disappointed me these past few weeks. It feels so good to see a UTEP win in the Don. Really looking forward to the offense with Bynum and Hamilton picks up. This is coming from Adrian at Enemy Win 3. No excuses. This year, they need to win 20 games. So to your point, Alberto, I mean, I think a lot of other fans have that standard too. I think fans want to see this team go out, win 20 games, get the team get the fan base excited about this team in the regular season where they can be bought in and support this group. And then in Huntsville, Alabama, they would have a better chance going in with some momentum versus just trying to play spoiler as this dark horse type of team. So that's got to be the mentality for this team moving forward. Sal, I'll reel off these games to you. Okay. Here in non-conference play. You tell me when you think we're going to find out about this team, okay? This Saturday is at Utah Valley, okay? And by the way, for Utah Valley's purposes and for what they are, they're out of the WAC, and they check in to this season ranked number 151 by KenPom. And so to put it in perspective, UTEP is ranked 178. So this is a team by a lot of the standards in college basketball that is ranked a better team on paper than the Miners are. So on Saturday, it'll be a team that is, I would say it's probably evenly matched when you really boil it down, but at least the prognosticators in preseason, they like Utah Valley here in this matchup. So that's Saturday. Then it's a home game next Tuesday against UT Permian Basin at UC Santa Barbara, which is Wednesday, November 20th, and then Ball Dog Classic. This is their Thanksgiving week series. It's versus San Jose State, versus Long Beach State, and versus UNC Greensboro. Sal, which one for you is the spot that you think you'll learn most about this UTEP men's basketball team, and why is it the Ball Dogs Classic?
You know what? I'm going to go ahead and say, oh, man. Can I go a little further, or is it only up to that point?
No, go further. Did I need to stop? Maybe I didn't need to stop. So maybe we learn more about them at Louisville on December 11th.
I think I learned about them in basically a nine-day stretch, and I learned the most about them in that stretch. And the reason why I say this, and I should say which one, rather, Seattle at Louisville and then Tarleton State, because at that point, Seattle's a team that you're, I don't want to say on par with, but you're in that same arena, so to speak. Louisville, that's Louisville. You're on the road, but Tarleton State's back at home. But I bring up this one because at that point, you'll already have had like a month and a half to get your stuff together and to gel, because let's be honest, they could get blasted at Utah Valley. It may or may not be a fluke. They could blast Utah Valley over there, and it may be a fluke. Same for Permian Basin at home and at Santa Barbara. It's kind of like you're riding those waves. And we've seen it with previous UTEP teams where they get off to a start, 6-0 start, 7-0 start. And then reality strikes once the sun goes away out in December. So give me that 9-day stretch between Seattle, Louisville, and Tarleton. But if I have to pick one for sure, I'll say Seattle, December 7th.
Yeah, I think that's a nice one to point out, Sal, because last year, you know, these two teams hooked up and they came to the Don Haskins Center and UTEP lost to them 73-61. This is a Seattle team that last year went 23-14.
Yeah.
And the Redhawks were really good. This year, they're also projected to be pretty good. In fact, they were ranked 118 by KenPom. So right around where UTEP is, a little, you know, projected to be a little bit better than UTEP, when it's all said and done, out of the whack. But that's a team in Seattle that will be a tough out. So I like this selection. I like your choice there, Sal. Alberto, I'll throw you on the spot here. Which is the one game or series or whatever where you think we'll learn a lot more about this UTEP men's basketball squad?
Yeah, I'm interested to see how they perform out in Las Vegas. You know, the lights physically, literally will be extremely bright. It's 3 days out there. It's easy to get distracted. It's easy to think of other things. So it's also a non-conference. It's still early. So I'll be interested to see how they attack that. It's not necessarily if they win or lose. It's how they attack the games, if they're losing, and just how they look, you know, their body language and stuff. So I'm really interested in that type of stuff, not as much deeper because, you know, that Seattle game, that's at home. That Tarleton State game, that's at home. Yeah, you travel out to Louisville, but I think that when you're not at home and things get rough, how's it going to look?
Yeah, it's another good point, right? I mean, I think that when you look at that Las Vegas series, in my eyes, I know these are, you know, mid-major squads that have some good prowess to them. San Jose State, Long Beach State, UNC Greensboro. My eyes, my expectations is you sweep in Vegas, even though it's tough to do, even though it's hard to win on the road. But that's the expectations I have on this UTEP men's basketball squad. 915-505-6009. One of our pals, Sideline UTEP, is joining us next. What's up, Sideline? Great to talk to you, my friend. What did you think? Give me your instant takeaways. UTEP defeats Sol Ross 102-55.
What's up, guys? How's everybody doing? You know, I think I texted you earlier and I told you it's hard to get excited over this one since it's not really a good sample size. I mean, against a D2 program. But some positives, man, that 3-point shooting 52%. Oh man, I never thought I'd see this team shoot the 3-point that well, man. It was awesome to see Trey Horton and Ahmad Bynum just kind of, you know, working together, you know, just kind of nailing down that 3-point specialist role. So, I mean, I want to see a lot more of that this year. You know, I don't want to just see it against Sol Ross. I need to see it against, you know, Utah Valley next Saturday. I need to see it in Vegas. You know, let's see that consistency, though, you know?
Yeah, it's an interesting. Yeah, it's a really good point, right? Because I love and Sal, you know, I usually you're the nickname guy. We always defer to you as the nickname person. But man, voice of the Miners John Teicher and Joe Golding coming up with a great nickname, Casino Cat for Ahmad Bynum. Like you're gonna go to the casino and like Joe Golding was saying in pregame today in the pregame interview, you go to the casino, you go to the craps table. And you just roll the dice to see what you got in Ahmad Bynum. Today you rolled and you got some big cash on that one. So what do you think, Sal?
Hey, I like Casino Cat, but you just mentioned like going to Vegas and stuff. They're going to go to Vegas.
Right.
And if he can cash in over there, Ball Dog Bynum.
Ball Dog Bynum.
Let's go.
I wonder if the Ball Dog Classic, you know, they have a little trophy, an MVP award, Ball Dog Bynum. We can make it happen. I think it works. I like it.
It is both animals, Casino Cat or a Ball Dog. Which one are you going to be? Or is he the same beast as a different animal like that Kobe Bryant commercial?
This is good. This is good stuff, Sal. All right, Kevin, I think that for Ahmad Bynum, some games you're going to absolutely love him. Some games he's going to be their go-to scorer for, you know, down in stretches. But some games you're going to wish think that, hey, they can't close games out with him. He's too cold in this game. Or he might even go through stretches like that. You're just going to have to live and die with that. But on the flip side, if he's able to maintain a consistent 3-point shot, he's going to be a tough guy to even keep on this roster, just knowing how tough it is to find perimeter scoring at the college basketball level.
No, most definitely. I mean, and on the nights where he doesn't show up, man, Trey's got to show up. I mean, I was listening to Bobby Broswell on the ESPN Plus broadcast, and man, he was speaking very highly of Trey, you know, and I kind of have to side with him, you know. I think Trey is one of our dark horse, like, best shooters on the team. Him and Corey Camper just got that nice jump shot to them that they can just absolutely dominate with, but they got to be consistent with it, you know. So a team that didn't play well on the road last year, I think this upcoming Saturday is going to be a big test in my eyes, and they definitely can't overlook this Utah Valley program. I know they only won 16 games last year, but still, this team's got to play well on the road, and I mean, let's see if they show up on Saturday.
Let's see if they do, man. Sidelines, it's always great to talk to you. I appreciate it. I'm going to have to give you our hotline number so you can call in whenever you want. Any takeaways, any other thoughts on this team? Is this a 20-win team right here?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I think if they don't even touch that 20 win, then it'll be, like, sort of a disappointment. But, hey, man, it's Conference USA title or bust, man. That's my motto this year.
Okay, I like it. I'll talk to you later, Sidelines. I appreciate you. Hey, let's do this. Let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. You're listening to Minor Talk, brought to you by Jack in the Box here on 600 ESPN El Paso. As we continue here on Minor Talk, Sal, bring you back on this one. Did you like that CUSA title or bust line from Sidelines? That's an interesting one.
Oh man, you know what? I think title game or bust. I expect them to be back in the championship game just off of the run they had last year, and people would be like, Sal, well, that's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. All right, whatever. Maybe they got lucky, maybe they didn't, but the fact is they're returning pretty much all of last year's eligible returning lineup, and a lot of the coaching staff is still there. And this is also not a rebuilding year. You know how you usually give a coach like 3 years or so? No, that's already in the books already. This is one of the more veteran coaching staffs, veteran teams in Conference USA. So the expectations should be high.
Okay, so I don't think we're going to get Zay tonight, guys. I think we're going to have to postpone our draft till either Saturday or Tuesday. So it's okay. But I'm going to give you a draft preview, and I'm going to tell you this. This is my only hint that I'm going to give you guys.
He plays for UTEP.
Yeah, he plays for UTEP. The guy I'm gunning for is the guy who Sidelines was talking to me about, is Trey Horton.
Yeah.
I'm buying all the stock right now. I'm buying all the Trey Horton stock. Raise your hand if you forgot Trey Horton was a freshman last year. I saw a second three go in, and I was like, wait a second, this guy was a freshman last year. And I had to do the digging on him. He played four, you know, this is somebody on this squad right here who is very impressive. Very, very, you know, a guy who I think has really stepped it up defensively. But last year, if you just saw what he did in CUSA play, right? Just in the CUSA period of what he did, shot 40% from 3-point range in 14 games of CUSA play. That's what you need. In CUSA play, Sal, I want a guy off the bench who's going to hit 40% from beyond the arc, and that is exactly what Trey Horton can offer.
Yeah, especially when there were so many dry spells on offense. Who's going to get you out of that? And Horton's going to be expected to provide a lot of that this year, or hopefully not a lot, right? You kind of want to see them be more efficient on offense, but if it's not you know, ending the drought, maybe it's continuing what's going out there on offense. So hey, there's a lot to be expected from this team. I know that they were talking about title or bust, but you really got to look at this roster and feel good about what's returning this year, and knowing that they're not really close to that ceiling.
Yeah, and just to go back to other players who are returning from the squad. I mean, you look at Derek Hamilton, 42 games, Sal, over two seasons. That's impressive. You look at Kevin Kalu, 91 games for UTEP, 39 starts. I mean, in a NIL and transfer portal era, all this is rare. Like,
yeah.
like next year, to have the continuity or to have guys back and to have, you know, all these returning guys, that's probably not going to happen. I mean, if I'm just going to bet on the odds will tell you that doesn't happen next year. But just for right now, it's why you can't take this nucleus for granted.
And Steve Yellen said something earlier that was really interesting, talking about the returners and whatnot, and how UTEP is one of the few teams to have this happen. And you're right, it's completely rare in sport, college athletics, I should say, nowadays. But he said that's really just a tribute to the coaching staff, and they come back to UTEP because they respect not only the staff, but are also hopeful for what they can do. You saw the timestamp that was on the shirts, right? What was it, like 10:50 something or whatever the time was.
10:33,
They want that get back. That's exactly what it is. So they have the expectation of going back to the title game too. Don't just take it from people who are excited about it. You can ask them yourself.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Let's keep it moving and just previewing. I guess we can kind of preview a little bit of what we're looking for in our quote-unquote draft when we pick out some of these guys. I'll just spotlight a couple of players who I really like today. Devin Barnes. I mean, this is the first time I got to see him play in person. Junior's playing from Tarleton State. He averaged almost 14 points on 40% three-point shooting last year. Alberto, he can create off the dribble. He can create when he's on ball or off ball, and he can score at all three levels. Devin Barnes, while he's a bit undersized, I feel like he makes up for it in everything he does as a point guard, and staggering him with David Terrell Jr., that'll help them immensely in the backcourt. They're going to rely on Devin Barnes to be one of their go-to scorers this season.
And hey, he had a great game today. He had 8 points, but he had 5 steals as well to go with the 5 steals that David Terrell Jr. had. So that's huge. So if they're able to complement each other like that during the season, that's really what you really want. So he was plus minus. He was plus 32. So he was the second highest minor in the plus minus column. The first highest, Otis Frazier. Plus 47. It was huge.
Man.
Yeah, he killed it.
Frazier is just your, yeah. I mean, Sal, if you get pick number one, we haven't decided who's going to get the order of picks. Are you just going?
Know.
Are you just going Frazier number one, like 1A, no matter what?
I think he's up there. I think it's between. I can't say. No, I'm going too far.
Ah, you can't reveal your cards. You can't show your cards.
I'll just say this: he's highly touted on the draft boards. We got to come up with a name for this draft.
We got to figure out some rules. We got to really break this down. But this will be fun. There's players I'm trying to avoid. I texted you guys this as well. But, you know, in a snake draft, it could get interesting. It could get a little dicey. To break down a little bit on Ahmad Bynum, you know, Sal, in year one of Joe Golding, or actually, I'm sorry, this is year one of Sule Boom, when he first transferred here to, you know, to UTEP under Rodney Terry. He sat out that first year. That's when you had to sit out in the transfer portal. That feels like forever ago.
Last decade.
I know. It feels like forever ago. You have to sit out a whole season. Well, Sule sat out a whole season. He was playing on that scout team. He was the best player on that scout team, no doubt about it. But when he came onto the scene first, he was a sixth man. He was like coming off the bench. Is this the same thing that we're going to see from Ahmad Bynum, where he's coming off the bench to start off the season and then he slowly integrates himself in the starting five? Or do you like him as this kind of sixth man off the bench spark plug who could be a sharpshooter for the Miners moving forward?
Oh, man, that's tough to say. And I only say this because it's against Sol Ross State. It's the first game.
Right.
You know,
all this is,
We were saying the same thing last year about Elijah Jones.
True, because he had like that
he couldn't
super
miss.
Efficient game.
He couldn't miss, you know, and that's not to say these guys aren't ballers. You obviously want to see them go off, but you need a larger sample size. And also, too, when the competition is a lot more on par or even better than you are, that's when we got to see the cream rise to the top. So you hope so. You hope that he could definitely contribute. And I'm not answering your question at all because I don't know. But I think probably off of the bench just judging off the returners. Yeah,
this is why you get paid the big bucks, Sal, because you've done this before. You've been a part of this once or twice, and I'm looking at the stats right now. Elijah Jones, game one last year against McMurray, get this stat line, all right? In 17 minutes, he goes 5 of 5, 19 points. He makes a trio of three-pointers. The next game against the University of Science and Arts, whatever that school was, 15 minutes played 7 for 7. from the field. He also finishes with 19 points. So the first two games of Elijah Jones last year, you're just thinking, I'm buying all the stock right
there. I forgot what minor talk it was. It may have been after the Science and Arts games or the one after that. And we asked, like, if you had to bank on one player I forgot the specific question. I'm paraphrasing, but I was like, I'm all in on Elijah Jones. And I'm still on the Elijah train, by the way.
Okay. I could see a late pick from you.
Definitely see, a lot going on there. But, yeah, man, we gotta see a larger scale, so to speak.
Yeah, I'm with that. Alberto, any thoughts here chiming in on this conversation? Do you react quickly on Bynum? Do you buy into the stock, or do you reflect back on some of these other games in the past and say, hey, this happens, you know, when you're playing lesser quality opponents, you're going to have a couple shining stars who might not, you know, necessarily be the mainstays for the entire season.
Well, I don't think he might not be a mainstay, but you want him to have shining moments like this one so that when you need him in sparing moments in conference, you know that if you do go to him, you know what he's got in the tank. So I think that let the guys shine when they can early, especially the young guys, so that when crunch time comes, you kind of more or less know what each guy has in the bag and what they bring to the table. I think that's really what I'd use these early games for. Today was Amad Bynum.
Okay, let's go back to Twitter and X, 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X. This is coming from Noah Guerrero. Great to be back. I love this year's ESPN Plus broadcast crew. Shout out to Coach Bobby Braswell and his famous point zone. If you know, you know. Good stuff, Noah. And by the way, a big shout out to Coach Braswell. Big shout out to Andy Morgan. Great team on the ESPN Plus broadcast crew. I couldn't agree with you more. Esteban, so if football team wins Saturday, Minor Talk still focuses on basketball, even if they lose. No, we just said we'd prioritize basketball, Esteban. We're still going to sprinkle in UTEP football. It's senior day. There's a lot to break down for UTEP football. And plus, we'll have Alberto and Zay join us right after that game. So we'll still have takeaways for Minor Talk for football. El Paso Visuals Deportivo. He chimes in. I treat UTEP basketball and football like I treat Cowboys season. I don't get too high if they win, nor too low if they lose, because it only matters at the end when it's playoffs / the Conference USA tournament time. Just like last season. Also, D2 games, UTEP, Northern New Mexico, UTPB, that should not count to the 20-win tally list at 600 ESPN El Paso. Sal, I think we've agreed on this before. We said this.
I think as long as it's Division One, they do count. I know.
Yes, Division One counts.
Yeah,
I agree.
So I agree on not including Sol Ross or who's the other one? It's Northern New Mexico, but I think Permian Basin is Division One.
I'm not too.
I'll
familiar.
Double check.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Yeah.
Give me like 5 seconds. Yeah.
So I don't think UTPB is, but I could be wrong. Joe Chacon, this is what Minor fans needed. A break from defeat and hope. Baby steps work for me. One game at a time. It's a dub. Win, baby, win. # repping from El Chuco now.
I found it. And this right here, I got to find out the last date it was put up, but it says that they play in the Lone Star Conference, which is the same as
Sol Ross.
So let me quadruple check, because I like to be exact here, but
no, yeah, I got you.
He's right. No, he's right. Yeah, so I'm on board with that.
Yeah, I'm on board with that too. I think that you can put all those in the same category, and that's why I said before, and I'll say it again: UTEP's first real home game against a squad that they're gonna have to go up against a D1 squad. It's Seattle. That's Saturday, December 7th. So we'll circle that one as far as a relevant home game, and then right after that, a Monday, December 16th, home game against Tarleton State. So that's one to kind of mark on your calendar as well. A couple other guys I just want to quickly highlight, guys, and then we'll turn the page. We'll look to Utah Valley, and we'll close out this Minor Talk shorter edition here on the program today. I want to give another shout out to Derek Hamilton. I just really liked his play down low in the post tonight. David Terrell Jr., CUSA Freshman of the Year in 2023-2024. He shot 46% from two-pointers last year and averaged 1.3 steals per game last season. Sal, if you had to bet on two things, one or the other, okay, it's going to be like an all-conference season or a sophomore slump for David Terrell, even if that's just a step back from last year and not a big one, where would you go for the young man?
You gotta go all conference. You have to, because there was that snub last year as well. I mean, he was even you could tell body language and stuff like, are you guys serious? Do you not see the game film that was presented? He also showed it in the conference tournament as well.
Fearless.
And he has to be. He has to play with that chip on his shoulder because that's the mentality that the entire team is going to have pretty much all year. That they should have, I should say, right? But no, going all in on that.
Alberto, another player I want to spotlight is Corey Camper Jr. He was somebody who he said to us very honestly in a pre-practice scrum, like, hey, it took me about a year to adjust from the JUCO level to the Division I level. And I think that year has finally come to fruition. I don't see, like, he's not the guy who, when they need a bucket late in the game, who's going to maybe be their go-to score. He could end up scoring that bucket, no doubt about it, but he's not maybe like their 1, 2, or 3 option. I'll say this, he finds his spots, he picks his spots, he makes the most of them, and he's becoming a really good two-way player. Like, he doesn't need to just score, Alberto. He can get his players involved through assists and rebounding. He's become a nice all-around playmaker for this team.
Yeah, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. So he does do other things apart from scoring. So he's going to, I'm excited for the season that he's going to have. So it's definitely interesting to see how he's going to build off of this first year that he had here at UTEP and finally settling in and getting comfortable with a bunch of guys that are returning, right? Not everyone in college basketball can brag of that. A bunch of guys that he played with last year are coming back. So the familiarity between each other is what gives me hope that they'll be able to find some of that. The good cohesion to kind of get things going.
Yeah, I agree on that completely. Guys, Utah Valley, it's Saturday, and that's how we turn the page. And I think that's how we should kind of leave things here on the show today. I think it was, you know, for this UTEP men's basketball squad, they had one goal tonight, and that was dominate, be efficient, show that you won't turn the ball over, and turn the ball over on their side. And they did all of that. They forced 26 turnovers in this game. They shot lights out from beyond the arc. And we don't take really anything away from this one other than we got to see a lot of different rotations. So I will go and I will say that this is a squad right here that will learn new things about them Saturday. I won't react either way, a win or a loss. I won't get extremely excited or really down on this team either way on Saturday. And I think that's how we have to leave it. Utah Valley is where they can kind of see where they're at, playing a whack team on the road, a team that they should beat. And, you know, they have to come back home and take on a Permian Basin team that they should dominate just like they dominated Sol Ross State tonight. So that's how this next week and one day look for this men's basketball team, Sal. That's how you turn the page right there.
Yeah, and it's really just about, hey, you got out of this one healthy. What did you do well in this game that you think you can transition over on the road to a WAC team? And WAC is no slouch either. That's one of the more competitive conferences year in and year out. And this is after New Mexico State left that conference. So do with that what you will. But we're going to learn a lot about this team, but still a lot of early basketball for them to iron some things out.
Hey, I just want to push one more time to check out. If you enjoyed us here tonight on Minor Talk, check out the UTEP basketball preview, the 2024 preview with head coach Joe Golding. It's up on our YouTube page. Shot by Inspo Lens. Our man Chris was not able to make it tonight. Happy anniversary to he and his wife. They are celebrating an anniversary here tonight. That's awesome stuff. Congrats to him. Exactly. Check out InspoLens.com. This is a free website. Check out the world through an inspiring lens. Positive storytelling, education, and action for good. Inspo Lens is your El Paso documentary website. New stories out every week. And that is InspoLens.com to check all of that out. Alberto, any final thoughts tonight? UTEP turns the page. They've got obviously Sol Ross on deck. Utah Valley on deck on Saturday.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they attack that first road game, and it's probably not going to be a fun road game. They're going out to Utah. Utah Valley defeated Western Colorado 92-57 today as well. So they're also coming off a win. It'll be interesting to see how the Miners attack that.
Yeah, I'm with you there completely. It is a 2 o'clock tip off. Yeah, we'll have it right here. 600 ESPN El Paso. Colin Deaver calling the action for Saturday's matchup for men's basketball, while voice of the Miners, John Teicher, is actually going to go ahead and do the UTEP football game on Saturday as part of Senior Day. That'll be heard on 95.5 KLAQ. But that'll do it for us here on the program today, and that'll wrap us up. UTEP defeats Sol Ross State 102-55. The women defeat Tarleton State earlier today 52-49. For Sal Montes, Alberto Retta, I'm Adrian Broaddus. We are signing off tonight. Thank you so much for listening to Miner Talk, brought to you by Jack in the Box here on 600 ESPN El Paso.